Welcome to episode 4 of the Phase Transition podcast. I want to thank NRSNG for letting me use their studio, top company nationwide for nursing students, helping students pass their exams and prepare for a successful nursing career. If you are a nursing student, you should check out their website at nrsng.com, their YouTube channel, and their Instagram page where you will find valuable information. In this episode, I have a candid conversation with my friend Char, who lives in Texas, and my friend Teresa, who lives in New Jersey. We talk about their belief system and how they came to define themselves as atheist. Char tells us how she came to a crossroad as she stood by her father in his last hours before passing recently. Teresa explains how in her mixed faith household, she and her spouse come together to raise their children. They will share their journey of exploring different belief systems, but ultimately landing on the same fact-based scientific ground.
So I'm super excited to have Teresa and Char with me today, and we're going to discuss their journey, their beliefs system, and we're going to try to debunk some of the ideas out there about some of the things that the ground they stand on. So to begin with, just to have a little bit of a background story, and I'll start with you, Teresa, if you could tell us how you grew up, you know, if you grew up in a certain faith, or your parents, if they were part of a certain faith, how was it at home? Like, how would they teach you like morals, or if it was taken from a church or from books or whatever it is? Like, just kind of, if you could tell us a little bit where you come from.
Sure. So I was raised by a Roman Catholic parents, and I was put in a parochial school for the first 8 years. We went to church every Sunday. We celebrated all of the saints' days and all of the holy days of obligation. And I was a really good Catholic growing up, trying to abide by the rules and learn to be a good Catholic adult. That was my goal. I was raised in a town that was probably half Jewish. So there was a lot of religion going around. Not necessarily all Christian or all Catholic, but lots of a faith-based community, I would say.
And that is in New Jersey?
No, that was in New York.
New York, okay.
I grew up outside of about 25 miles north of New York City.
Can you maybe tell a little bit more about what your parents thought at home? What were you guys religious? Were you praying before meals? Or were they more like loose religious parents, or were they pretty strict about abiding to the rituals?
I would say somewhere in between loose and strict. I think they had strict ideals, but when it came to practicing their faith, my parents were very much, which is probably typical of Catholics, you go through the motions, you do what you're told and do what's expected, and the rest, the fulfillment and the spiritual richness, that's all supposed to come from somewhere else. We didn't do a lot of family praying. There was no Bible study, but that was because I was in Catholic schools. So right. They assumed that was happening during the day.
So you were learning basically what you were supposed to be learning at school as far as gospel goes or catechism.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. And what about you, Char? Like, what was kind of the context growing up, your parents, what they believed or didn't believe, and what they would try to give to their children?
So I grew up in a home that was very religious neutral. I don't actually think I was aware of religion or people having a religion until maybe sixth or seventh grade, when it became more apparent that certain groups of kids did things before they came to school in the morning, or certain groups of kids did things on the weekends. I grew up in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and there is a large Mormon population. There's a large French Catholic population. And then there's a lot of Protestants, and then people who just aren't religious. Now that I live in Texas, it's very different here. But in contrast, religion was not something I thought about or was aware of. My dad is atheist, and he's a geophysicist, and we learned about science and how the world was created through science. We learned fact-based information. We were taught to question everything. But on the flip side of that, we were also taught to embrace diversity. And I think that really happened not just with my family, but also in the Canadian schools and Canadian culture. We're not a country that assimilates people. We're a country that embraces and celebrates different religions, different cultures, different languages, different traditions. So I never really thought anything of it. I never really thought anything of myself. But I definitely think around seventh grade, I realized some kids would be going to the Catholic high school, and some kids were going in the morning before school to the Church of Mormon to read, or I'm not sure what.
I like that.
Church of Mormon. I'm not sure what they were doing there, but they went there every morning.
Called seminary.
Okay, so they went to seminary.
Scriptures and
they got up really.
They would be mad at you for calling them the Church of Mormon, because they're like, it's not the Church of Mormon, it's the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but it's
That's right. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But they went every morning really early. They came to school, like already having had a class of some sort.
Yeah.
And then I think in seventh grade, my awareness increased because someone gave me a cross.
Oh.
As a necklace, and it was from a friend, and it was a very kind gesture, and I brought it home. I didn't really know what to think of it.
Oh, really? Did you know what it meant, or?
Not really. I think my parents did a great job, and because Canadian schools are very neutral, there is no religion in Canadian schools unless you go to Catholic school. I knew it was a cross. I knew it represented, like, Western religion. That's about it.
Like, you didn't know it meant Jesus dying on the cross?
I had no idea. And on the flip side, my mom did go to church here and there because we did find that I was baptized. But ultimately, I really think any experiences or things she was committed to in the church, it was really just a social activity. Mm-hmm. And again, compared to Texas, churches in Canada are not very religious.
All right. So that's interesting that you had no real connection to the Bible, like directly until later on in life. And we'll come to that. I want to jump back to Teresa and ask, like, as you grew up and you started becoming more independent, like, let's say in your college years, where were you at that point in your, maybe, were you curious? Were you not? Were you just indifferent? Did you start being, what was your journey?
Well, I think once I came into my adulthood, it took a while, but I gave myself permission to really question out loud what I was being taught and what I was asked to participate in. So my adulthood was a constant yearning and a constant searching for what my truths would be and where was my faith and what was my faith. I was always questioning and always looking, always attending the other church down the road to see if maybe they had better answers for me.
So you started exploring at that time. You really started kind of exploring around what was around and what made sense.
Yeah. It was always within Christianity, though. I never really ventured into other books, so to speak. And there are lots of other books out there. I think for a long time I considered myself a Christian. And so I was going to look for the Christian faith that best answered my questions and best quieted my doubts.
Right.
Just never found one.
Interesting. And so what about you, Char? Because we've talked a little bit as friends. And when did that curiosity kind of perked up where you decided, okay, I need to know a little bit more about what's out there? And I don't know if it was more curiosity other than like Teresa, she was looking for something to answer her questions, like fundamentally her spirituality. But when you were looking or trying to inform yourself, like, what was the purpose of it? And did you find something that you connected with?
So I think around 12th grade, I had some really great friends who were Mormon, and I heard them talking about things, and I was interested. Not so much interested in that I was searching for something, but interested in like knowledge. Like, why don't I know about this? Why don't I know what they're talking about? And I read the James King version of the Bible front to back. Wow. Like a novel.
That's really impressive. Not a lot of people, even religious people, can say they've read the Bible front to back. I have, but not everybody has.
I have.
It's like reading Shakespeare.
Yes, right?
That was interesting and eye-opening. And then in my first, second, and third year of university, I was curious about religion and why religion wasn't in my life. Mm-hmm. And my parents weren't very vocal about, you're atheist or you're agnostic or we don't believe. They never said one way or another. They said, you need to figure out what you want. So I went to different churches. I went to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
There,
and I went to some activities. I went to some Sundays. I spoke with Jehovah Witnesses. I went to, I guess it's like a, it was like an immigration church in Canada. It was there for people to congregate as new immigrants and learn about Christianity. And I really think it was Methodist. And I actually probably spent the most time there because if you attended the youth group, you got free parking at the university, which I really liked and needed.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I also took some classes in my undergraduate about Western religion and Eastern religion because I was curious. And I wanted to know more.
Right.
And interestingly, on this path to knowing more, I think I knew more about myself in the end, but I really enjoyed learning about it. And I still actually really enjoy learning about other people's religions and belief systems. And it's kind of been just a life journey of not being ignorant.
I like that because it's all in the sake of knowledge and understanding the other, not with the purpose of joining or not joining, but understanding what is it other people believes. And also interesting that, I mean, the world really is based on all these stories, right? When you look around and you see the Hinduism and Buddhism and Muslim, and I mean, it's such a great big part of our history, and knowing about it, I think it's super important. Otherwise, not with the intention of joining, but definitely opening our minds. And so you continuously learn about everything, but never have the inclination to like join or be a participant. And why is that?
I have always been really comfortable in myself and really comfortable in not being the same as others. I've been taught that this is a wonderful thing. And I've always felt like the answers for me, whatever the answers are that I need, are within me or within a book or within a mentor or someone I know. It doesn't matter if it's a religious or non-religious person. I feel like the answers are here within the human mind, and we just have to search for it. And sometimes it might be within us and we have to just be quiet and really think. But yeah, I've never felt the inclination to join, and I've never felt that I was missing anything.
Or that there was something above, like grandiose, like a god watching over you or controlling everything that's going on or giving people incentives one way or another, or an evil person like Satan or whatever, who like influenced people to do evil and do bad things. Like, was that ever a thing that you thought about and be like, that could be?
I've always thought everything can be explained by science. So people, for example, who make bad choices and let's say treat people badly, maybe they've got a condition that's developing, such as dementia, and they've lost their ability to socialize and make good choices, or maybe they're bipolar. I've always really felt that if we are cognitively healthy and we're cognitively able, that we can make good choices and we can do good things. But yeah, I've never really had a moment when I was growing up or in my younger self where I really felt there was something above us controlling us.
Interesting. So to get back to you, Teresa, so you are exploring different churches around, you're attending different congregations, and how long does that last until you settle somewhere? You're like, okay, this place, I think I can be here for a while and I feel connected, or whatever it is that you felt.
I think that my search continued my entire adulthood until I came to the realization of there not being a church for me. I did stop in places for a while and thought I could stay there, but it always came down to the same thing. It always came down to, I mean, I went to lots of different churches. I studied with Jehovah's Witnesses for 5 years or more. I was at fellowship Christian churches.
Five years, that's a long time, 5 years to invest in learning and studying. Was that your last stop until?
Yeah, I think Jehovah's Witnesses, it definitely was the last stop, but I think really my foot was already out the door then. That was like the last
try.
And what I was going to say was that if I stayed long enough, I always found the same formula, that there were a group of whatever you want to call them, elders or wise men, or more often than not men, mm-hmm. kind of up at the top, and they were dictating what the rest of us needed to do and needed to think and needed to accomplish and needed to work on in order to be a good citizen of this faith or citizen of this church. And none of it ever really seemed all that godly to me. It was very, very human. And I thought, if this is what God's telling you, then either he's not all powerful or he's just a jerk, that God of yours. And I just kept, you know, no matter where I went, I kept coming to that same, like I said, there's that image again of those five guys up on top telling the rest, as long as those five guys are happy, then the rest of us are going to get into heaven. And I thought, where, you know, I've read this Bible through and through, where does it say that?
Well, what about the apostles, you know, Jesus and the apostles, and guiding everybody else? Do you think that some of the churches are kind of mimicking what was happening then? Or
I know that was their claim, but the thing is that the Bible itself is just so outdated. I think it served its purpose for a while when we didn't have the science, when we didn't have the maturity of the generations and generations of studying and coming to see who we are and how we interact with each other and our abilities. And the fact that women are, I mean, the Bible is so misogynistic. There's no real good argument for those things anymore, that the apostles were all men, or that women can't be priests, or, I mean, I could go on and on. It doesn't fit anymore in how we have evolved as a human race.
So what about those progressive churches who do allow, you know, homosexuals to be full part, women to be priests? I mean, you could join one of these churches if you felt like you have a need for a home, a church home.
I could. And that would solve part of the issues, I guess, if I've joined a church that was more open like that. But then the Bible itself is telling us that that's not accurate. And I wasn't going to be a cafeteria Christian. I was going to either take the book and live by it or not. And I could never live by the book.
So what was your conclusion then? Where did you go from there?
So from there, from Jehovah's Witnesses, I really went to science. I went to Richard Dawkins and his colleagues, who really gave me permission to ask the questions out loud. Is there a God? Do I need religion? Is this something as valuable as society is telling me it is? And those books and those lectures that you can find on YouTube really empowered me to stop thinking the way I was taught to think and to go outside the box and to be who I am myself. And I myself found that I thought this was all a load of baloney.
The more you dig, the more you're like, okay, it doesn't make sense. So yeah. So what do you call yourself today? Like, I know we don't like boxes, but if you had to, agnostic, spiritual, atheist, nothing, like, what would you
I am not a believer. I am not a fan of organized religion in any sense. I find that it does some good, but it does more harm than good. I am not a believer in a all-powerful being who is somehow messing with us in controlling and not controlling our fate. And I am a personist. I believe in humanity and all of its evils and all of its good that it's capable of.
So a humanist would be kind of the best word to describe you then. A humanist?
I don't really have a word. I mean, people, you know, I've said I'm atheist to people because it's just a simple catch-all. They kind of understand what I mean without a 10-minute conversation or a 10-minute description. I do not believe that there is a God or a devil or heaven or hell or saints or witches or goblins.
Okay, thank you.
Or a Santa Claus.
All right, so this leads me to my next question. So Shar, I'll ask you first, like, since, you know, you don't have a church who tells you how you should believe and behave and all that, and what do you teach your children? What's your moral ground and how do you build that, or where does it come from?
So I think the first thing I tried to teach my children, but they disregarded me, going to Teresa's comment about Santa Claus, was that Santa Claus isn't real, the Easter Bunny's not real. I really wanted to break down and not lie to my children. And it's not that religion is lying, there's just an, yes, it's difficult to prove. Okay, and maybe Teresa, I didn't.
What about the dream, you know, when they're little, like, did you always not tell them that Santa was fake? Or, because I mean, I believed in Santa when I was little, and then eventually I didn't. But from the beginning, like, were you like, no?
Yes, from the beginning,
like,
I was like, no. But you know what's funny is that they get so, they love the idea of Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. And so after a while, I stopped talking about it. And we do have Santa Claus come to our house. We do have the Easter Bunny come to our house. But we celebrate the pagan rituals, things that happened before Christianity spread across Europe. And honestly, for us, it's just about being together as a family, right, and having some traditions or having some things we regularly do that, right, will be good memories for our kids when they grow up, and also a good way to connect and have a great relationship. And I do have open and honest conversations with my kids about religion. We've always talked about, we don't believe in God, but that doesn't mean if other people believe in God that there's anything wrong with that. We're just different.
Do you feel like you're imposing your views when you say we don't believe in God? Is that like a family stance, or is it like, are you kind of telling them this is how it should be? And then I'm being like, well, yeah, I'm pushing a little here.
I like it. But so for us, I think the we and us is my husband and I.
Okay.
He chose to leave Catholicism after asking me a bunch of questions of, you know, why am I good, or why do I do good versus bad and I'm not religious. Uh-huh. But for my kids, I honestly feel like if they want to go to a religious camp or a church service, it's not threatening to me. I actually think it's a good educational opportunity for them. Mm-hmm. I also feel like if I've done a good job getting them to question themselves and helping them be strong and self-esteem and understanding how the world works from if you work hard, great things will happen for you. If you work smart, great things will happen for you. If you're kind, others will be kind back to you. I really feel like if my kids, and my 13-year-old has asked me this, like she said, what if I'm interested in religion? I said, well, you should go look. Mm-hmm. It's not a threat or a horrible thing to me. I probably would get concerned if she got pulled into a religion, was really losing touch with us or losing touch with our ideals. But I do think that, you know, if my kids want to explore it, they should, mm-hmm, so that they can understand our world better, because we're surrounded by religion, be it Christianity, Judaism. There are also lots of Mormon people here. But at the end of the day, I also want them to know it's beautiful that they're different. Mm-hmm. And everyone's different, and we should all be really embracing of that.
Absolutely. I think it's great. I think it's beautiful, and it's courageous, because being where we live, being in Texas, where it's mostly very, very Christian and very, very religious in any shape and form, to just be like, I'm different and I embrace it and I'm not ashamed of it, taking a stance and teaching kids to be that way. As I went through my transition, as you know, and the kids, you know, asking a lot of questions, like they've actually looked up to you. And Jasmine was like, I'm atheist. You didn't know what that means. Because I also don't like my kids to take on like whatever name they say they are. Like, I don't like it because I want them to understand what it means first. Just like she said, oh, I want to be Catholic. I'm like, sure, just study for like 3 months and tell me what it's about. And, you know, and then she abandoned the idea because it was too much work. And I have the same approach as far as like educating my kids now that I don't have that boxy everything laid out for me to give to them, of just explore, question everything. I'm not going to be opposed if you feel like you want to join this or that, but show me that you've done the work, show me that you've questioned, show me that you understand. And I think that's teaching them to really think for themselves. And also, like you were saying, making sure that they know they are important in this world, not more important than another person, but they are important. They have a place, they have a role. They should embrace who they are. You know, it's very important because, interestingly, I grew up in this LDS church that would tell me from the moment I'm just a toddler that you're special, you're important, you have a mission, but more like you're different than others. Right. And so you feel that you have this important mission to save the world from very early on. And I had to let go of that because, quite frankly, when you grow up and you're a youth, you're a young person who's developing their identity and personality, it actually boosts your ego and boosts yourself. Like when you just repeat it, you know, Sunday after Sunday and lesson after lesson, you're important, you're special, you're different. And you just put that on until the day you're like, well, really, I'm just like everybody else trying to make sense of this world. And so what about you, Teresa? Like, as, because also you're kind of in a mixed phase, I would say, relationship where your husband believes a certain way and then you believe a certain way. And so how do you meet in the middle to tell your kids what's important, you know, where they should get their morals from? Like, how does that work?
Well, I think it's a little short-sighted to think that you have to have a faith, a religion, in order to have morals. Because, I mean, if the only thing that's keeping you, and I don't mean you personally, I mean, if the only thing that's keeping someone on the right side of the law or keeping someone from cheating or harming others is their fear of the punishment or the wrath of their God, then that's not really a very strong faith in themselves or in their religion, for that matter. So, I mean, I teach my children, you have to be a good person because that's who we are. That's what we're doing. That's the world we're trying to create. Not, this isn't about your reward afterward, because you only get one life. So you got to make it as good as you can, as positive as you can, because this is it. There's no other story. And when they ask questions of, you know, what about this or what about faith or what about whatever their questions are, my answer usually comes down to, and I'm paraphrasing here, I'll end with, science doesn't really support that theory of yours there. Mm-hmm. And we kind of joke and laugh because my children are older, but really what I'm telling them is you've got to go, don't just take what someone says as truth. You really have to look into it and answer those questions for yourself and answer all of those questions. Because I don't like when people say, well, we don't have the answer to that, so we'll just leave it up to faith. Mm-hmm. But that just says, you must, in order to be a good citizen in our church, you have to settle for not knowing. Mm-hmm. You are a bad person if you doubt, because I'm telling you to have faith in this unanswerable question. And I don't accept that, and I wouldn't let my children accept that either. Did I answer your question?
Yes, because basically I was asking, you know, what you teach them, and I like that. That's also the approach that I'm now taking, is, as I was saying, is question everything. But what about, I want to play devil's advocate a little bit, like science doesn't know everything either. Science doesn't have all the answers. So where
No.
do you go with these deep existential question that really science doesn't have all the answers for?
Like, no. Science doesn't have
why am I here, you know, where am I going, who am I, you know, those really deep questions that at some point people start asking themselves. And that literally didn't have all the answers to, because they know where we came from, why are we here, where are we going. I mean, that's they have it all laid out, up to the kingdoms you're going to afterwards and what you're going to rule and reign and whatever. So how would you answer that?
I would say that those are questions that a life's journey will answer, not a book.
That's awesome. I like that.
Those are questions. They're more quests. You need to go out and find who you are and why you're here. You need to go make your life descriptive of who you are and what you do and how you treat others. That's why you're here, to go find those answers. And not putting aside the fact that we're darn lucky to have been given this life on this earth. Just
considering how many people don't make it, even from the very beginning of creation, that alone is a miracle in itself, having that chance to experience.
Well, it's certainly a unique opportunity to have. I feel lucky that I am alive. I feel lucky that I have lived. I could have been a tree or a bug or...
So you do believe in like reincarnation or whatever?
No, I'm not saying reincarnation. I'm just saying that there, when you put all the science together and why there is life on this planet, we're pretty lucky to have evolved in this way and to have been here and to have lived a life on this planet. I'm just delighted to have that, to have a sense of being and a sense of self and to experience that where, you know, I don't know that birds actually can go that deep. But as for my husband, he has his views, and like anyone else, one has to respect someone else's point of view. And that is something I teach my children. Not like you're going to be punished and sent to hell if you don't, but simply because these are the kinds of people we are. That's what we do. We respect other opinions, and we say, I respectfully disagree when we do. My husband and I, it's not on the topic of all the time. Yeah, we're not talking about it all the time. He has his views and they're strong, and he is confident and comfortable where he stands, and you can only respect that.
Right, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, that's really all we can do, is know where our boundaries are as far as what we choose to believe, what we choose to accept. And to me, I get really bothered when it's pushed onto other, even though I was there and I did it. I served a full-time mission. I was knocking on doors, telling people, this is where you need to be. This is what you need to believe. This is the only way to be saved. And to be fair, when you're in that context, you really believe you're doing something of worth. You really
absolutely.
You help others and help them see the light and help them be better. And it's accepting. But today, you know, I'm at the point where accepting that people can just decide and choose for themselves. Even if it looks miserable, whatever they choose, it's still their choice, and they are entitled to make that choice. And you shouldn't want to rattle people to like change if they don't want to. So, but it's, yeah, I mean, depending on how you've been brought up, for me, it was a complete change of way of thinking and acting and all that.
But I think as an atheist, I'm kinder to those people who knock on the door trying to sell me Bibles than my Christian neighbors who will slam the door in their face and tell them to go to hell. And I think, you know, here they are, just they're trying to save you. Could you just be nice in return? I think it's hilarious that I can be more tolerant and kind to these people than my so-called
Christian
followers of Christ who live next door.
Believers. Okay, so what about you, Char? Well, I guess you're on the same page at home with your spouse, pretty much. So my question was, like, how do you handle those, like, deep existential questions, like, that your children may ask? Like, how?
So, interestingly, I thought my world was going to be rocked this year. My dad got very, very sick, and I ended up going to be with my siblings and make some really hard decisions about his end of life care. And I got to sit with him for about a week and a half, where we had decided to stop treating him to get him better and actually keep him comfortable while he was dying. And I really wasn't sure what was going to happen for me personally, or what was going to happen for him or around us. And the reason why I wasn't sure is I have never known anyone who's died that's close to me. Mm. And I thought, this is it. This is the moment where all that knowledge and pieces of information, I'm going to have to make a choice. And that choice is going to be, I am going to continue to not believe, or suddenly I'm going to believe because I need a reason to believe. Mm-hmm. And what was shocking is that my sister, who has found religion, wanted to be religious. And my dad had an opportunity prior to ending care to get better, to have a really deep conversation with the palliative unit about what his wants were and his desires for the last part of his life. And it wasn't, he didn't want any religion, he didn't want a priest, he didn't want any ceremonies or traditions. And then we all sat with him, and it was amazing because the palliative care doctors counseled us on what was actually happening to the human body, what was happening to our dad, what our choices were to keep him comfortable, to keep the experience for him pleasurable and also pleasurable for us. And throughout most of that time, we spent talking about his favorite songs, his memories. There was a point where he couldn't eat anymore, and we would sponge liquid apple juice or water to him so his mouth wasn't dry. There was a point where he couldn't talk anymore, but we still all communicated as a family. The last thing to go is your hearing when you die. Mm. And although I wasn't sure what was going to happen, it happened and I was okay. I got to say goodbye. And in my heart, he lives on, but there's no God, there's no faith behind. As you can see, it's still quite, it's solidified. Yeah, it's solidified for me that the best we can do is have a good life and love the people we're with and care for them. So it was amazing. And I got closure, and I think he got closure. It was good to know that everything I've been taught and everything I know, I believe to be true. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for sharing that. Now you're making me cry.
I'm sorry.
Thank you for sharing that.
It was an amazing experience to be with someone that you love and to share that with them. It's the most probably intimate experience you'll ever have. Yeah. But it really solidified just the world for me. We have, like you were saying, Teresa, one life to live, and we should make it as positive and good as we can.
Thank you so much for sharing this. And it meant a lot to me to speak to the two of you. And it's, I don't know if it's serendipity or what, but because we all have our journey. And I always tell people around me that, you know, the conversation come that Char, like you are the, because she, I knew she was an atheist before I knew you, Teresa, became an atheist. It was kind of a news for me because when we first met in Switzerland, you know, you were still studying with the Jehovah's Witnesses, and I didn't know where you had gone from there. I knew you had detached yourself, but I didn't know if you had chosen something else or another faith. I didn't know you had chosen, you know, science now. And but when I met Char. So Char and I met, so our kids go to school together. They've been going to school since kindergarten when we moved back to Texas. And we just kind of met after school on the street and started talking, and somehow, you know, found out that she's an atheist. And I'm like, man, she's like the happiest, sweetest, kindest atheist I've ever met, you know. And not to say that, you know, others are mean, because I know other atheists and I'm friends with other atheists, but what impressed me the most about you, Char, is that you were just happy. You were not cynical and angry, because I know some atheists who are very kind of cynical and just down on everything. And I think that's probably what gives a bad name to atheists. Now, in the same token, you know, I have this cousin in Belgium who's also atheist and does spend his summer, or has spent his summer in India caring for the lepers. And he has zero belief in God, because he's a humanist, because, you know, being good for goodness sake, because he cares, because it means something to see what's going on. And whatever the reason, there was no religion or God attached to that. And I used to say my atheist friends do a lot more than many of those so-called Christian or believer, whatever, who would not do that. And not to say that, you know, Christians and believers don't do missions and stuff like that, but to me, it seems like it's bigger from someone who doesn't believe, because it's not about getting a reward for what I've done, because they don't care about that. They don't believe in that. and, mm-hmm. and it showed the true potential and of humans and the caring, and like you were saying, it's inside of you. It doesn't have to come from outside or, you know, whatever works for people. Again, I don't want to be judgmental about people who choose to believe and whatnot, but I think people who choose not to believe should really be given the same kind of respect. And which leads to, you know, maybe coming closer to the end to, if there were some prejudice, some preconceived ideas, you know, about atheism, like, as far as I'm concerned, you know, coming from that very solid religious background, and it used to be, if I didn't know my cousin who was an atheist, or like I wasn't around many atheists, or I didn't know I was, probably I was around a lot of atheists in Europe, because most people don't give a crap about religion over there, but excuse my language, but so I probably was, but they were just not talking about it. So for me, it was like, oh, you know, there was a time where I associated atheism with maybe Satanism or some dark things, or you, because you have to work with something, right? Or you, like, world, or I'm using my former religious language, but like the things of the world, things that don't matter. And like, that would be kind of what atheists would be about, or like putting down everything that's godlike or whatever, which clearly we've seen, you know, as both of you are not about putting down others, or it's just like, you know, I've had my journey, I've found out what works for me, and it's not about, there are extremes. I'm sure I can find some atheists who are like super angry and, you know, don't want anything to do with, you know, anything religious. But I really, my hope in doing this today was to really show that it's okay to not be religious. It doesn't mean you don't have morals. It doesn't mean you don't have values. It doesn't mean you don't care about others. It just means that you care about the here and now. And what can I do to better this world, myself, without having this incentive of heaven or hell behind it all? I want to give you to the last words. And if you wanted to debunk some of those ideas out there, kind of like socialism is not communism, you know, like atheism is not Satanism, you know, like what is it that you sometimes feel coming from the outside, from people who know that you don't believe or whatever, like what is it that you would want to say to these people? So let's start with Teresa first.
Ooh, okay, that's a big one. I would want to say to your listeners that if they have questions and if they have doubts, that is a sign of their intellect and of their quest for their personal truth, and that is something that needs to be celebrated and explored. And if they can find a way to give themselves permission to do that, and that doesn't mean to go out on your soapbox and say, all right, I'm going to question this and I'm going to be atheist or I'm agnostic, but a personal quest and a personal adventure, really, to find your truth. Give yourself permission to do that, regardless of what others are going to say or think, because when you get to your truth, what others say and think won't matter, because it'll be your truth. Right. And that's invaluable. You can't put a price on that. So I would say that to them. And as far as the prejudices, and I can't speak for how others think. I try to teach my children and I try to live myself a loving and respectful life, because that's the world I want to see. So I'm going to work hard to create that, whatever that looks like. I mean, my husband is not an atheist. He has a very firm faith. When he dies, I will abide. I mean, if I'm still alive, I will abide by his wishes and bury him and go through the traditions that he wants to see laid out. And I will do that respectfully and lovingly, and not biting my tongue and snickering behind the backs of others about what my truth is. That's not the world I want to create. Mm-hmm. So I say, follow your truth wherever it leads you. It will lead you to your truth, your inner peace. Go for it.
That's very, very noble. I like that. What about you, Shar? If there are things you would wanted to say to people who don't quite understand what it is to not believe in God and to not rely on that, to be a good person.
I think the first thing I would say is that I'm just like you. I love my husband. I love my kids. Or, you know, if it's your partner or your common law spouse, I care deeply about the people around me. I'm normal. I also think that you should ask me if you have questions, because that's a good way to learn.
Absolutely.
I think you should also respect others and embrace diversity. Diversity moves us forward. Diversity allows for us to evolve and change and be better. I would also say it's similar to immigrants. We're all around us, people who don't believe or might believe or do believe. We're all here in the US, and I always think about my process to becoming an American citizen, and this country was built on people escaping religious persecution. So here in America, I think we should embrace all non-believers, believers, and I think we should be all respectful and kind and take the beauty of being human and spread that. So I would just say, don't be afraid. Don't pigeonhole me or anyone, and you know, have that open conversation, because you'd be surprised, we'd probably be willing to have an open conversation about your religion, and we both can take something good away from that conversation.
Absolutely.
Bravo.
Love it. Thank you so, so much, both of you, Shar and Teresa, for being willing to share, to open up and share, you know, how you built yourself, how you came to your conclusions. I think it's very, very valuable. I think we underestimate the amount of people who either wonder, question, don't know how to understand different perspective. And I think sharing is a way of informing each other and letting each other know that it's okay to just be you and believe what you want to believe. And let's just all work towards that same goal of having mutual respect and tolerance. So really, really thank you for being willing to come out there and share your thoughts. Because
you're welcome. Glad to have shared a little with you.
Thank you for joining me today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Remember that life has amazing things in store for you if you don't give up. I'm Juliana. This is the Faith Transition Podcast. I will see you next time.